Welcome to Comics,
episode 277.
This week, we talk about
Archie vs. Predator.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast.
Which Predator movie is this generation's?
I don't know. I'll tell you right now. I have only ever watched The Predator with our former governor.
That's the first movie.
I love saying that now, by the way, because he was our
governor. I love that he signed my diploma.
Yes, he signed all of mine. They're great.
And Andy, it's the governator.
The governator, that's right. And yes. I even after now that he's no longer the governor, I follow him and I appreciate his politics, and I like that he's Republican, just like in politics alone. He doesn't want to give any more or anything. You know, he's a great guy. And like, oh, what was there? I think it was last month. He posted a picture of himself at Oktoberfest with his, with his bastard son.
Aww.
And everyone's like, that's awesome, because this is a guy in the public view who cheated on his wife, which is terrible, and had a kid out of it, and he is great to that son. Like,
he's taking responsibility.
Exactly. Take responsibility for what you did. And he's great to his son. He's like, posts as much pictures of his son as he does the rest of his family, and it's like, fucking, yeah, man. Yeah. Be a goddamn father. Be there. And it's great. It's great that people, that image is out there in the world, too. I've been watching a lot of Luke Cage lately, so there's a whole lot of complaining about fathers not being around, and then I think about Arnold. I'm like, yeah, fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. Anyway, do you want to talk about this week's comic?
Sure.
Well, yeah, that's why.
Yeah,
we're talking about Predator.
Yeah.
This week's comic.
Yeah. So this week we read Archie versus Predator, which is a 4-episode miniseries, written by Alex DeCampi. This is printed under Dark Horse, so this is not Archie canon. Don't worry.
But Archie Comics was heavily involved in its creation.
Yes. And in the foreword, there's something it mentions how the original crazy crossover was Archie meets Punisher.
Yeah.
Which I want to read that one too. And how they just opened the door for all kinds of craziness.
Yeah. Apparently no one died in that one.
No, fucking everybody dies in this one. It's great. Everybody except for Betty and Veronica.
Can I just say, like, straight up, this comic brought me such joy to read, especially after the weeks of Superman. Like, this was just utterly delightful.
Oh, good. Yes. I'm glad.
Agreed.
I'm so glad. So, okay, I want to start off. Where was the first point at which you laughed? The first point at which I laughed, they had done the whole, my first lol happened when they were at the island, or I think they were heading there. And they cut to each person saying something. I don't remember what the context was. And they cut to Cheryl, and Cheryl says, "Death to the proletariat."
Yeah.
That was like, and it was all just, it was stupid, you know, Archie stuff. Like, Jughead saying, "Oh, I want some fucking cheeseburgers." And then it just cuts to Cheryl, "Death to the proletariat." It was like, this is out of place and hilarious.
I think the part where I really realized what this was going to be like was the part where Milton goes, he's all excited about his telescope.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, there's a lot of innuendo there.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, yep, this is definitely an adult comic.
He's running back to his bunk to play with his long, hard telescope. How about you, Jen? Where was your first lol?
Oh, man. It's actually from Jughead, and it's just like this tiny thing. It's when they first arrive at the resort place, and they're all sitting around and talking, and Jughead is eating an ice cream sundae with his hands. And he's just like double-fisting that shit into his mouth. And I was just like, oh my god, they've turned the dial up to like 11 with him. I gotta say, like, I think my favorite gags in this comic were Jughead and Food. Because, do you remember the diner scene where Pop gets his head blown off?
Yeah, I do.
So, his eyeball and a bunch of blood lands on the cake, and Jughead's holding it. And in, like, one frame, we get this scene with him where he's like, this is kind of gross. And then you flip a couple of pages, and he's eating the cake, and it still has the eyeball on it.
I didn't even notice
For
that.
For multiple panels, the eyeball stays.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he doesn't even bother to flick it off or anything. He just eats it.
That's hilarious. did you just? I think it's the cover to Two has Archie, Betty, and Veronica in the booth, and the Predator is like behind the counter. So they're like they're at the booth, like splitting the milkshake or whatever, and the Predator's like behind the counter, like getting ready to jump out and shoot them. And then the cover issue 3 is Predator sitting at the table with Archie and Betty, I think, and Veronica's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Predators are like, yeah, milkshake. yeah.
I really, really love that they made the decision to just place Predator into the Archie universe. Because I think that's like what made this comic work. If it had been dark or done in a different style, I think it would have come off as a little like, okay, that was neat. But the charm of this is like that juxtaposition between that like 1950s small town comic vibe and the fact that all the characters cannot break character throughout the entire thing. And then there's like the death alien coming to get them.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, they go into the jungle looking for Betty, and Cheryl and Jason's corpses are hanging above them, and there's blood raining down on them. And no one notices.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one looks up. Or, like, I don't know, they... When Jughead dies and gets his spine ripped out and his head placed in a vending machine, they all kind of go, oh, that is so sad, and then start making jokes again.
Yes.
It's like they're just incapable of reacting appropriately.
Yeah, they're incapable of losing their shit.
Yeah.
And whenever somebody thinks about losing their shit, if it's one of these main characters, they're like steered back in line. Like Jughead talks about handing Veronica over and getting the fuck out of there. So then some side characters get the fuck out of there. But then Jughead dies before he can do anything. Like, none of this main cast is allowed to do what a sensible person would do in the situation. We get to see some side people do it, sure, but, like, it's not allowed. It's just not okay.
And not like, Veronica's worried about what she's going to be dressed in when she dies and stuff.
Yes. Come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Come the fuck on. And I like how it translates for Predator, too, because Predator has to translate things into this universe, and I love that his headset text is an emoji.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking genius.
So well done.
Genius. And I don't speak emoji. I'm not one of those kids these days. Like, I don't know what all the emojis mean. I know what some of them mean. So it's like, you just see like frowny face and a gun and then somebody running. I'm like, okay, I think I can figure out what you're trying to say here, Predator. But it translates so perfectly. And then I like that they make the Predator a teenage Predator too. Because, of course, it's a teenage Predator.
I actually feel like it would have been funnier if it was, like, the canonical Predator. But I know that wouldn't have worked as well, so.
No, because then at the end he can't fall in love with Betty and Veronica.
But no, that would be even better if, like, Predator from the movies fell in love with Betty and Veronica.
That's true. That would have been kind of nice, too. Oh, so we should talk about that at the end. So Predator falls in love with Betty and Veronica, except they turn the tables, and they take Predator down to where the, like, medical table is inside Veronica's parents' house in the bunker, and they reshape Predator into being Archie. Like, she got weird at the end, man.
Well, the comic was a bit self-aware in a lot of places, especially with Milton.
Yes.
Because he comments about how, like, everything always happens to Archie and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, none of the other characters are bothered by that. They just try to make Milton feel better in their own, in the way that they do in that world, you know? And so, I think, and Jughead, like you mentioned earlier, Andy, when the other characters realize what's going on and try to think of something sensible to do, but they just are incapable of changing their
course of action.
Their behavior. They just can't not do it.
Yeah. And I think that's why I like this ending, because it is the dumbest thing, right? It's like one of the dumbest things to... Because this predator cannot pass for Archie, right? Like, no way. This predator can't even fucking speak English, barely. It can say Betty Veronica in a really growly voice. But the conceit is that that's all Archie is just, I don't know, Betty, I don't know, Veronica, I can never choose. And of course, this universe needs there to be an Archie. So, functionally, the next day, there's a couple funerals because people died, but it's kind of the same in Riverdale.
Yeah. I think one of the best things about that is it's juxtaposed against this scene where Betty and Veronica kind of have this real nice moment together where they say, you know, Archie was a genuinely good guy, and it's not just how he looked. He's like a sweet person, and that's why I loved him. And they go, oh, you actually really understand how I feel about him, too. And it's like a bonding moment over, you know, shared love for this dude.
Yeah, Eskimo sisters.
And then exactly. It's like become a running theme.
Yeah.
So they have that going on. And then at the end, they're like, well, if we can just make Predator look like Archie, that's good enough. So they just, like, throw that out the window.
No, because they've gotten past the, like, it, now it's no longer about Archie, right? Aside from the fact that Archie's dead. Mm-hmm. It's no longer about Archie. It's about the two of them together fucking fixing this shit. Like, and the context also is if they can overcome what's coming between them, then they would be unstoppable. Like, there is, it's gonna sound kind of stupid, but there is a really, like, not so subtle girl power message in the end of this comic too, which is awesome. The idea that, like, if, like, these two women, if they overcome all the crap in their way and just join up and help each other, then they fucking do anything. They can beat a goddamn predator. They can beat a predator so bad they fucking terraform him into Archie, which is insane. And you kind of get a sense of that. Oh, go.
Oh, I really like, too, that they're the ones who basically instigated all of this with the whole, like, you know, shallow, which girl is prettier type of thing going on when they have the popularity contest.
Yeah.
And they managed to take that and flip it on its head. But it's still, like, they're still their core characters in every way possible. Like, they're not any less shallow for this experience.
No, that's true, they're not. Like... Do we even really care that Sabrina's dead now, too?
No, they don't seem to care that anybody died. Even Archie.
Well, they got a new Archie. They're fine.
But that, like all their other friends, they didn't really care that much.
Yeah, no.
Nobody seemed to be troubled by the fact that they watched Pops get his head blown off.
Oh, who was the... God, I'm terrible with these guys' names. Who was the one, Midge's boyfriend?
Moose
gave a crap, and then he died. Like, this, as soon as you become context aware of what the fuck is happening, then you're dead in this. Because Moose was like, the fuck, Midge died? This is bullshit. What? Like, he started to freak out. Because you would. Mm-hmm. If your girlfriend dies in your arms with, like, her guts hanging out, you would start to freak the fuck out. And so Moose starts to freak out. And you cannot become context aware. Because then he dies. Like, that's the kiss of death here, right? Like, the kiss of death in like, horror comics. And one of them, the group that leaves is like, I've watched so many horror movies, I know how it goes for people of color.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
That was pretty funny.
And to their credit, they do get the fuck out of there. But, like, it's the same thing. Like, this comic, the Kiss of Death is not being a person together. The Kiss of Death is being context aware of the fact that you're in the Archieverse and the shit is not right anymore. Because then you're a goner. Although, I do like in the beginning how it tries to cling on to it. One of my favorite scenes, for a totally different reason, Reggie says something like, best dressed means least dressed, when they go off for the... to get changed, mm-hmm. and somebody elbows him, and he's like, Reggie, not cool. Like, I appreciate, and this is something we can talk about on a different level over the course of the next couple weeks, too. I appreciate the way that Archie stays relevant by evolving like this, and I think we talked about that the last time, too. And that sentiment of being a good person, like, you can do all this, like, they're teenagers, so of course they're gonna horn dog it, and of course they're gonna compete for the attention of girls and boys, and of, you know, all that teenage stuff is still gonna be in there. But Archie is able to evolve and grow and do that, but still always try to be a good person, which is why I like that there's that Reggie not cool in there, because that is fundamental Archiness, is to be a good person regardless. So, like, yes, Reggie, we all understand that you are a troll and a horn dog, but don't be an asshole. On top of it. Like, you can be horny, and you can be a bit of a troll, but don't be a dick. And I like that call out, because that sets you up in the very beginning that this is definitely the Archieverse. Because if Reggie were a straight-up bad guy, you wouldn't mind him dying. But none of these people can be bad people. Like, I don't care when Cheryl dies, because she's a bitch. I don't remember her boyfriend. Like, so the first couple deaths, like, whatever, you don't... It's not even, like, fun or funny. The only fun or funny thing is how brutally they draw the death. With the, like, skull and string of a spine. Like, oh, you're actually going to put that in. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. Now we know where we are.
That's how Predator do.
I know, but I didn't... Like, in that art style, you're not expecting to see that.
You know what I really liked, too, is when Kevin Keller's dad meets him in the gym, and he's like, oh, yeah, these are predators. Here's what they're all about, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah! Like, why does he know that?
Because he's a general.
Yeah, an army. I know, but...
Oh, man.
Because somebody got to the chopper.
But, like, I also love how he's like, so, like, the best course of action here is to give kids guns.
Yeah.
I know, I was wondering that, because he says, like, he'll only attack you if you have a weapon. So why did you give them a gun? Just don't ever get a weapon.
Moose just has a squirt gun.
Yeah, he's so confident in it.
He's like, it's my dad's gun.
That's why your girlfriend died.
Oh, savage, Andy.
Fucking squirt gun's worthless. Although the real guns weren't worth a whole lot more either, so I guess it doesn't matter too much.
In the final, like, confrontation between Betty and Veronica and Predator, got pretty brutal, too, because, like, one of them gets their arm chopped off, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Predator gets stabbed in the neck.
That's right. I forgot Betty got her arm lopped off.
What's funny about it is that, like you said, it's totally drawn in the Archie style, but all the things that happen are... things that you would see in a Predator comic too. Like when Archie finally dies, he gets stabbed in the head by Predator, right? But you can see the blades popping out the other side of his head.
Yeah.
And then his head kind of explodes when Predator pulls the blade out.
Yeah. No, I think my favorite one of them was Nerdy AV Kid's death.
Milton.
Yeah, Milton. He takes it off. He's like, oh, did I do it? And then all of a sudden just, rah! And then he bites his face off. His skull.
And he still has the glasses on, too, on the skull.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes the Archie style, is that little touch of leaving the glasses on the skull. Because how else are you going to know it's Milton?
So good.
Is there, other than the girl power, like, you know, not so subtle context at the end, is there anything, like, is there anything intellectual going on here?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And when you read the foreword, that's pretty clear. They were like, let's just make another Archie meets Punisher.
But crazier, you know, if we can.
I think that's just exactly how it went down. They were just like, what can we do? That's crazy. And it doesn't have to, you know, the mindless entertainment is fine. There doesn't always have to be a message, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I really do think it achieves something here in that it shows you the very, like, heart and soul of what Archie is. And that seems, like, really backwards for an Archie meets Predator comic where it's super violent and everyone dies. But, you know, it's like Andy said, the lack of context awareness is what's saving people. And it's, like, even though all this bad stuff is happening, it is still so intrinsically Archie, right? Like, the main focus is, like, Archie's a pretty cool guy. He has some friends, and two girls are fighting over him. Shenanigans ensue. Right? Like, it's still at its heart, like, seminally Archie. And I think that's really impressive for throwing Predator in there.
Yeah, I think that's... They managed to maintain the character, or the spirit of both universes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Predator is like ultra-violent hunter, you know, and Archie is Archie. And it just works really well.
Which, I mean, that is an insane feat. Right. I mean, like, there's nothing more intellectual going on here, and this is just great, pure, fun entertainment. But those two facts should not take away from the, like, sheer craft that went into this.
Yeah.
Which sounds ridiculous to say because of how ridiculous this comic feels. But to make a comic feel cohesively authentic to two, like, such disparate universes, that's an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, there's some crossovers that are just bad.
Yeah.
Like... Amalgam Comics. We, you know, we joke about how it was fun and stuff, but they were not good comics.
Yeah, that's very true.
Just didn't.
I got a Spawn versus and Batman. Marvel, that's horrendous.
Yeah. It's just, but for some reason, Archie and Predator worked well together, and it's probably because of the creative team.
I mean, that's better than I liked Archie Meets Kiss. We did that last.
Yeah,
time.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like Archie Meets Kiss was charming. But I think that this one, it had something a little more than charm, right? Like it, I think I'm going to remember reading this for a very long time.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to tell everybody that I know that they should read this comic. Because it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like the thing is, like, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to find fault with the comic, and it's hard to because the comic is, you know exactly what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not trying to do anything. They're not trying to have another message in the comic. And I think that's why it's successful, because it just, it is what it is and doesn't try to do anything else. Just like the characters, you know, the comic is self-aware, and it, and that's, you know, that's why it succeeds. Or yeah. Part of the reason.
I agree.
And it manages to be self-aware without being trite, which is, I think, sometimes a thing that we get too much. Like, when something gets too meta or breaks the fourth wall in a certain way, you kind of get this sense that the authors are like, did you get the joke? Is it funny enough? And here you don't see that. It's kind of... It makes small jibes at itself, but it doesn't ever ask the audience for, like, affirmation in that sense.
Yeah, well put. Yeah. Well, you guys want to rate it? I feel like we're ready to rate it.
I mean, sure.
All right. How about you go first, David?
Well, I'm gonna give it a 5. Because I don't know how this could be better than it is. I mean, it's not capital L literature comics like some of the things we read that we've read in the past. But you know what? This comic doesn't try to be anything that it's not. And what it is, it succeeds at being. in every way that matters, I think. Like, it's the you know, they're contrasting these two universes, or juxtaposing, I should say, and it's just, they do such a good job. It's so seamless. Like, it doesn't, like, the premise is ridiculous, right? But it doesn't seem like, much, that much of a stretch, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. But I'm going to give it a 5 because it's excellent. And you should read it.
Okay, I think I will.
All right. Read it again, right now. All right,
okay. Jen?
Come back when you're done.
I also have to give this a 5. Like, I think I've had a pretty rough comics month.
Superman and will do that to you.
it wasn't just those trades. I have, like, my innate dislike of Superman, and then reading those, like, it was rough. But this was a breath of fresh air for me. I really enjoyed this. It made me laugh a lot out loud. And I thought that that was a pretty good feat for taking something so, like, undeniably tacky and, like, just, like, it shouldn't work. And that's what makes it work so well. Because they somehow make everyone in Riverdale getting murdered really hilarious. And I don't even mean that in, like, a mean way. Like, it's just, it's cute. The murders are cute. And I thought that was really impressive. I don't think I've seen that achieved elsewhere.
Cute murders?
Yeah, cute murders. Like, this was a little adorable sometimes when Predator murdered people. And that was strange, but wonderful. But yeah, it was really funny. The art was such a good decision to keep it in the original Archie style. Everyone was just so true to, like, you know, like, archetypal Betty, archetypal Veronica. And I love this comic. So 5.
Yeah. I mean, the only complaint you might be able to levy against it from a certain perspective would be that the art isn't, doesn't take any risks, but something along those lines, but one of my favorite things is Veronica asked Betty, how come you know so much about this voodoo stuff? And it cuts to Betty's memory with a voodoo doll of Veronica and her stabbing it over and over. And the right hand side of the panel is a little Betty, like, closing a curtain on the panel going, oh no, I don't know why I would know, no reason at all. And it's great. And there's other little things like the eyeball on the cake, and then the other detail I really liked was when Sabrina tries to do the ceremony to, like, rid the curse from the panther dagger, she gets out this, like, goat head thing and puts it on for the chanting. She, like, goes full on into it. And, like, it's, for me, it's all these little details that make this fantastic. Cause they could have phoned this in, right? I mean, Archie versus Predator, 4 issues. You know, the only people who are going to read it are the people who come to it looking for, like, nobody's going to come to this for anything intellectual. Nobody's going to come to this for anything more than seeing Archie and his crew get murdered in a funny way. You could have phoned this in and sold almost as many copies as what they probably did. And a lot of people probably aren't going to read this just because they think it's mindless trash. And it is kind of mindless, but it's certainly not trash. And I'm going to give this a 5 too, obviously. Cause I, it would have been so easy to not do as good of a job, but I feel like everybody involved in this went balls to the wall and put in a full effort to give you the best ridiculousness you could possibly read. Like, I feel like if anybody tells me they want to read a ridiculous, funny comic, I would recommend this, because even if nobody knows Archie, you know, you've heard of the character Archie, and you know that Riverdale is, like, Andy Griffith translated into comics or something. Like, it's just that wholesome all-American thing. And everybody kind of knows what Predator is. So there's no more context than you need past the title and what you kind of bring to it. You don't need anything else to have a good time with this comic. It's so good, and it didn't have to be. It had no right being as good as it was. So 5.
Awesome.
It's been a while since we had a nice unanimous fiver like this. Or maybe it just feels that way after a month of Death and Return of Superman.
No, I think it's actually not super common that we all rate something a 5.
Yeah. And I sure as fuck didn't expect it to be this.
No, I didn't. Going into
this, I did not expect this at all.
I think most of the time when we give a comic a unanimous 5, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
That it's going to be the 5. But this one was
Saga, Volume 1.
This one was a fun surprise.
Yeah. Speaking of Saga, that was drawn by Fiona Staples. Next week, we're going to read Fiona Staples artwork again. Next week, we're going to read Archie, Volume 1. This is the reimagining, I'll say, done by Mark Waid. The first three issues are drawn by Fiona Staples, then one by Annie Wu, then two by Veronica Fish. But really, it's the Mark Waid doing Archie that's really intriguing me, because Mark Waid is... Mark Waid is great. He's really, really smart in terms of how he approaches reinventions of comics. If you ever read Hypertime, DC's soft, like, universe reboot to explain some of what goes on, like, Mark Waid did a great reinvention of the DC universe that they didn't use, and Mark Waid has done all kinds of great, genius things in his comic book career, and I can't wait to read what he does with Archie. So next week we're going to do Archie Volume 1. That episode, like this episode, is going to be brought to you by all the Patreon patrons. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, become a patron today. If you become a patron for at least a penny, you get access to bonus content that comes out about once a month. It's all the stuff that we cut out before and after these episodes. So before this recording, we were talking about Star Wars and the prequel trilogies and why they don't necessarily live up. Anyway, that's in the bonus episode. So if you want to hear us talk about Star Wars, which I've noticed we talk about Star Wars a lot during the bonus episodes. Because me and David. All you need is a penny, and you can get access to all that stuff. Patreon.com/welcometocomics. If you want to just listen to the past episodes, those are always going to be on there for free. Don't become a patron at all. Welcometocomics.com. All 276 previous episodes are up there for freezies, and you can also see what we have coming up after this. This week's done. Next week, Archie, Volume 1 by Mark Waid. Until then, everyone, goodbye!
Goodbye! Bye.